Welcome back to the LifePoint DriveCast. My name is Matthew, and I serve as the teaching pastor for our Westerville campus. And this past week, we wrapped up our teaching series called I Have Questions. And for the past few weeks, we've been looking at different passages in the Bible that at first glance seem to contradict each other. They seem to be almost saying the opposite. But as you dig beneath the surface, you find that they actually complement one another. They give us a greater understanding of both God and ourselves. And if you were with us this past week, the question that we tried to answer is this: how are we saved and made right with God? How are we saved and made right with God? And as Christians, this is an absolutely essential question for us to be able to answer. And what can be somewhat tricky is that when you read the New Testament, at surface level, Paul and James seem to be giving us different answers to this question. Paul, in Romans and really throughout all of his letters, clearly teaches justification by faith alone, meaning that we are made right with God. We are declared righteous solely by our faith in Jesus, not by anything that we do, not by our works or our efforts. And Paul uses the example of Abraham in the Old Testament, where it says that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. We are justified by faith alone. But then if you flip over to James's letter, James uses the same story from Abraham, but seems to be arguing that faith isn't enough, that we also need works, we also need effort, that faith by itself is not sufficient to save us. He seems to be teaching justification by faith plus works. But as we've talked about throughout this series, we have to pay attention to the context, meaning who is writing this letter? Who are they writing to? What kind of issues and problems are they trying to solve? And James was writing to a group of people who had this false belief, something called antinomianism. It's this belief that, you know, once I'm saved, once I'm under God's grace, I don't have to follow any moral laws. I'm able to do whatever I want. And these people, they had intellectual knowledge. They understood the gospel. They understood that they were saved by faith, but they were using their salvation, they were using God's grace as an excuse to not do anything. And their faith was not producing any works in their life. There was no fruit, no evidence of their salvation. And James says that this kind of faith, a faith that doesn't change our heart, that doesn't change our life, he says it's dead. This kind of faith is not legitimate. And so James is not saying faith is not sufficient to save us. He agrees that we are saved by faith in Christ alone, but true saving faith produces works. It produces fruit. And I think that the place in Scripture where you see these two ideas, what Paul says and what James says, come together is in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Here, Paul says this: "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Paul is clear that we are saved, we are made right with God by God's grace through our faith in Jesus, not by our works, not by our efforts, so that no one can boast. But then Paul says this next: "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." Our works do not save us. Our works do not make us right with God. But when the truth of the gospel takes root in our heart, it produces good works in our life. It produces fruit in our life. It's evidence of true saving faith. And so the two questions that I left our church with on Sunday to consider are these. The first one is this: are you relying on your works to save you? Are you relying on your moral behavior? your obedience, your effort, your performance? Are you relying on anything other than Jesus to save you? And then secondly, is there evidence that your faith is real? Like when you look at your life, your motives, your priorities, your actions, your words, not that you're perfect, not that you have it all figured out, but is there evidence, is there fruit that the gospel has taken root in your life, that Jesus has changed your heart? And so I want to take a moment to pray for us now and then give you a chance to pray as well. And so God, we thank you that our salvation is not dependent on our efforts or our obedience or how good we perform, but it's based solely on what you have done for us through your death and resurrection. And God, we receive this free gift by placing our faith in you. But God, we don't want to have a faith that's dead. We don't want to have a faith that's just head knowledge. God, we want our faith to change our heart, to change our life. And so, Lord, we pray for more and more fruit in our life, Lord, that we would walk in the good works, God, that you have prepared in advance for us to do. So, Father, we love you, and we pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.